Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen. Honor for me to be here today because it's such an honor to be associated with such a wonderful man of God as Brother Andrew Kerrigan. And it's an honor. I thank the Lord for it. And the Lord is obviously pleased with several things because there's enough happy bubbles around here to choke a fat mule. Hallelujah. The glory of the Lord is present with us. And the Lord, for that dove to hover so closely, the Lord must be pleased with several things. So the presence of the Lord here today speaks volumes to me. Brother Rochester, you must be doing a good job because the Lord's pleased today. And if things were wrong, it would be grieved. And I'm so glad. And Brother Kerrigan, the foundation that he laid in this place. I about got carried away when that family started singing a while ago. Going to serve him together. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yes, well, I've got about 2 hours of preaching on me. Is that home cooking waiting on us? This is a 20-minute sermon. The Lord laid on my heart. I just feel like I could say a lot of it quickly. Now, if that's frozen lasagna from Sam's Club, this is going back to 2 hours. One thing, I was raised in church and raised around meetings and pastored 7 years, but 23 years in evangelism. And it's either a good food church or a nasty food church. There is no in between. And if there's one granny that can really cook, then there's 20 of them that can. And if there's not one that can, none of them can. They bring broccoli casserole that somebody else made with raisins. You watch, there'll be one over there now that I... And they bring frozen lasagna from Sam's Club. I get offended. So if anybody brought frozen lasagna, I still love you. We'll just act like we're not, it didn't happen. Hadn't the Lord been good to us? There's enough old timers over here, I got confidence in you. What's over there? We think a lot of Brother Michael and Sister Jenny. We love their family, and for many years, I love hearing Sister Jenny and the girls sing just as good as anything, and they've sang at all my meetings. And Brother Rochester has, by faith, been a big help to me in all of my missions. There's a train out there. In all of my missions and in all of my camp meetings, Brother Rochester's always backed us and helped us. And we're thankful. If there wasn't men that were willing to give and sacrifice, then we couldn't, evangelists and missionaries couldn't do. One of the great things about Brother Kerrigan was the missions. That gym and those flags and the missions conference and what about his bride giving a missions offering today in honor of his birthday tomorrow, an anniversary today. I wrote that down. That's how strong the man pushed the Great Commission. Amen. Amen. Glory. Hadn't the Lord been so good to us? I'm in Hebrews 13. Will be our text for this special service. And I can hear some super spiritual nut right now saying, well, you're not supposed to worship man. If you'll stand behind my Suburban when I back up, I'll make sure and gas it. I've even got a rear view camera to enjoy the whole experience. I'll go out there and make sure and wipe off my little camera so I can see everything. Well, we ought not worship man. Number one, we're not worshiping man. We're obeying the scriptures where it said honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. We're honoring. And people who talk like that, that ain't the first preacher that they've tried to hate. Some families get a taste for preacher blood. And they can't help themselves. They spend the rest of their life heaping up damnation against themselves, fighting preachers. God only had one sinless preacher. And the world crucified him anyway. There are no perfect preachers. Don't you think there's enough happening in this world for you to attack? Why would you attack God's man? People who talk like that, they attack preachers. And they split churches. And I'm grateful that I could be here for this day. We're going to start the Redfield meeting back up next summer. And we'll be in another location. We outgrew that one. Well, we had plenty of property, but if it ever rained.
Was y'all there when we got 27 vehicles stuck?
Yeah, y'all was one of them. I'm going to try to find somewhere where y'all can park. But I'll be letting you know about that. Before let's look at Hebrews 13. And verse 7. And leave your Bible open to this chapter. Remember them. Hebrews 13 verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. I'm glad Brother Kerrigan was a man that you could trust to have the rule over you. He wasn't going to beat you with a rod of iron. He was going to lead you. And who have spoken unto you the word of God. Aren't you glad that that man of God put the word of God in his people? Amen. Whose faith follow. I'm glad he had a faith that we could follow. Not only his doctrine we could follow, but his direction, whose faith follow. And then his destination. I accidentally just got a 3-point outline. Write it down so I'll know it later. His doctrine, his direction, his destination. I got that right in front of y'all. Ooh. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Well, I like when a man lives right and leads right. I like how it ends up right. Amen. And his widow could stand here and boast in her husband in a rightful way. And his family, and I know there are some out of town, but his family stand up and sing that we're going to serve him together. Amen. And God gave you a fine young pastor to pick up and carry on the mantle and the message and the ministry. And it's evident. And thank God is worth following. Amen. I didn't know him near as well as y'all. But He'd bring y'all to the red field, and he'd bring me to this pulpit, and not for many years, but enough for me to have a deep appreciation. I knew I was
hanging around a Moses and Elijah.
Nobody had to tell me that, and I knew it. And I was so grateful to see that old man of God at the red field and put him in a special seat there and had him pray over the young preachers. What an honor. And one of the last memories I have is went down and had lunch with him one day, me and Brother Wampler from over the way in Cowpens. And of course, Brother Wampler's parents had walked into the church so many years ago and got saved under his preaching the first or second Sunday. And then he married them. And how many other people whose lives he touched like that? Me and Brother Wampler sitting down there at the Chinese restaurant, Big Hibachi, somewhere outside of Spartanburg. And it turned into a 2-hour worship service. If I'd have known them Chinese was going to bring us the corona, I'd have Lysoled the place down. But I, at that time, I didn't know. It turned into a 2-hour church service. And where I was sitting, Brother Wampler was next to preacher, and Brother Kerrigan was there, and he had his hand in here. And right over past his shoulder was the little paunch belly Buddha, you know, that's sitting there, and I don't know why his arm was doing that, but at the cash register, you know. And I don't think Mr. Buddha was enjoying our worship service. So every once in a while, I just look past Brother Kerrigan and stick my tongue out at Buddha. Old man of God, he was pouring it on. And shortly after that, he went on to glory. And at 2.5 hours, we sat there, and Brother Wampler, big old tears, just a run it. Brother Kerrigan left us, went into another world, preached for 2.5 hours, and it poured down into my soul. At one point, sister, he'd raise his hand, and he had bandages and them surgeries and good night things that man came through. But he'd raised his hand, your father did, and he had his hands in there, and he said, I'm just an eagle in the wind. Wherever he carries me is where I'm a-going. I was slinging soy sauce and tossing egg rolls, and I just look my tongue out, old Buddha, take that, you heathen, pagan, bald-headed, paunch-bellied thing. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad I got something real, and there's some old men that's poured it into us. Bless the Lord. Hebrews 13. Write down 3 things, or either put them in your heart. In Hebrews 13, there's a word about honor, and we're to honor those. See verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And you know, right here in the text, it'd be a place where a lot of time you might deal with negative people, but I'd like to thank God for the positive people.
I'd like to thank God for the ones that bring joy to your church and joy to your ministry and joy to your life. We have to deal with the ugly people so much. Let's just talk about the good ones for a minute. Thank God for the ones that bring joy. And if you ain't one of them, shame on you. And you're hurting yourself while you hurt everybody else. But I want to thank God there's some people that say, yes, Lord. And there's people that say, thank you, Lord.
And there's people that don't complain, but they pick up their cross and they wave it around a little bit and say, thank God he's counted me worthy to suffer for his name's sake. I like people that can take a good chewing out and they'd never miss a beat. Simon Peter. The Lord called him Satan in front of everybody and to his face. I don't know what he did. The Bible maybe blinked. He did. And then the next verse is like, I ain't going anywhere, Lord. You got to feed me supper. I got nowhere to go. I followed you along. There wasn't a verse where they had to get right. There wasn't a verse where Jesus had to go visit him because he got his feelings hurt. There wasn't a verse where Peter had to be petted by the church. He just like, amen. I've left all, forsaken all, and followed you. What do I get? He was honest, wasn't he? The Lord said, you get 100-fold in this world and in the world to come. Do you know Jesus called Judas friend and couldn't keep him? And he called Peter Satan and couldn't get rid of him. Some of y'all, we call you friend and give you the title and position and can't keep you no way. Oh, but there are those that you can call them the devil. And they'll be like, huh, that was weird. Okay, and what's next, Lord? Where are we going? Huh? I've been studying Esther and got some sermons on Esther. And you know that beautiful phrase that she's known for? And if I perish, I perish. Remember Uncle Mordecai said to her, who knows whether thou hast been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? And she said, I'm going in, Uncle. King may chop my head off, but if I perish, I perish. Do you know the context of that little beautiful phrase? She was getting scolded by her uncle. He'd tune her out. She didn't even need it. She was already dedicated and committed, but she had an uncle. He must have been a good one. He said, God's give you an open door, child, in that access into the king's throne room to save the Jewish nation. And you better get on in there. And y'all go back and read, it's in Esther 4. He gave her a lecture. He said, if you don't, I want you to know God will judge you and your daddy's house and bring you to destruction. And don't think that you can get away with not doing what God wants you to do. He chewed her out, and she didn't even need it. It didn't offend her, didn't hurt her feelings. Didn't run her off into a side chamber for 6 months because it got hurt at church. No! Esther said, I'm in, Uncle. I'm in. I'm going in. I'm heading in, and I'll lay my neck on the chopping block, and the king may chop it off, but if I perish, I perish. I'm all in. I said I just wanted to thank God for people who bring joy. You ain't got to find them. You ain't got to fix them. You ain't got to pet them. You ain't got to prime them. They're there. Thank God. And that they may do it with joy. Well, I know what Brother Kerrigan would want me to do. He'd say, that's enough talking about Brother Kerrigan. Let's talk about Jesus. And I'm going to honor. You know he'd say that. So I'm going to do that. Amen. Thank God. Four things while we're remembering them that have helped us. Let's not forget Jesus. Seen this a while ago, wrote this down sitting over in the pew. In verse 5 and 6, let's not forget what he said. Look in verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
And because of what he said, look what we can say. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what Chinese communists can do to me. And I will not fear what socialist Marxists can do to me. And I will not fear what Washington politicians can do to me. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. Can I get... God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want to say something to you. Hey! If you picked up on the news media spirit of fear in this corona, I got news for you. Corona ain't the only thing can kill you. A car wreck can kill you before you get to the house. I notice ain't nobody quit driving. A heart attack can kill you before midnight. I noticed ain't none of you going to leave here and go eat grass. You're going to come over there with me and eat that home cooking. You say, well, it's killing the old people. All the old, one day you're going to be old and you're going to die. You may die before you get old. The church up in Maryland, pastor told them, and I know preachers have got to do weird and different things. There are all kind of odd things that pastors must do. And if you don't understand decisions that pastors are making either direction, ain't there enough out there for you to talk about, not talk about the complications at the church? Yeah. I knew a man and he told him, he said, what we're going to do is just leave the doors open. He said, I'll be here at service time. I don't expect you to be here, but if you want to be here, you can. This was a year ago in the height. And you know, he had 12 young preachers in the church, teenagers in 20s and 30s. Do you know them silly rascals don't even get affected by this stuff? Ain't none of them come to church. Y'all ain't helping me. You want to know who walked in without ever hesitating? All the 80-somethings and 70-somethings. They never quit walking in. They said, preacher, we're going to die the day he's appointed us to die. And if it's by way of corona, then that's the way we're going to go. We ain't going to quit church. Amen. Dear time, there are 50 things out there that are liable to kill you before this thing will kill you. Why? And I, pastor, I'm getting, stinking outfit. Got a church in Georgia. And they, shut her down, shut her down. And they all went to Blessed Six Flags that afternoon. Y'all ain't helping me. Ain't bragging about not being at church on Sunday morning because we're so safe and we're so responsible and we're so cautious. And every blessed one of them went to a water park the next Sunday and Six Flags that Sunday. You see, I don't like the way you're talking. I don't care. I'm going to eat anyhow. There may be nothing over there but frozen lasagna and broccoli casserole with raisins. Lord. Every time I go to Medlin.
Oh, neighbor, I just want to whisper something to your Christian soul. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. My mom and dad are still alive, and I want them to be careful. They're not being at all. Dad goes everywhere and hugs everybody. Somebody asked him about a mask, and he thought he was talking about like a warm mask for deer hunting season. I got one. I don't want them to get sick. I'm aware that it might kill them. But God hath not given us. Something's going to kill them one day. And you ain't a leaving until God wants you to leave. God hath appointed a day. You ain't leaving until he wants you to leave. I'm preaching this verse. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's in charge of everything happening in your body and everything happening around your body. Don't y'all kill the Spirit of God in this church by bringing in the CDC, WHO spirit of fear. If you got a bad immune system, you want to wear a mask. I respect that. I mean, listen. When I'll let you get the broccoli casserole first, and then I'll get it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Old preacher from Tennessee pointed out that that sentence can be spoken in reverse, and it makes perfect sense. Thee forsake, nor thee leave. Never will I.
Amen.
You can quote it frontwards or backwards, and it makes perfect sense. Because there's some days your life's going to be upside down, and that thing still makes sense.
Let's remember what he said. Number two, in verse 8, let's remember that he's the same. Look in verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank God he said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's the same. His promise never changes. His power never changes. His purpose never changes. His protection never changes. His provision never changes. The Lord never changes. Everything else in your life may change, but He'll never change. People may change. Churches may change. Governments may change. Turned out everything in Walmart is made by China, and so is everything in Washington, D.C. And I told myself I wasn't going to talk about it. But anyhow. Everything, hey folks, there's a change going on in our nation. We're never going to be the same. We're headed out into that one world agenda, and the Antichrist is somewhere shining his shoes, fixing to make a speech. And me and you ain't going to hear it. Right before he's ready to make that speech, the Lord's going to blow a trumpet. Hallelujah. He's the same no matter what else changes. In verse 12, let's remember his suffering. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore into him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Bearing his reproach. I'm so sick of snowflake millennial Christians who got to run on social media and make sure everybody likes them and they're still popular.
Amen.
Got to run on social media and make sure everybody approves.
Yeah.
Make sure you get 100 likes and several thumbs up, and then make sure nobody's hurting your feelings or you'll passive aggressively post for 6 months.
And they think we're so dumb that we can't read between the lines on passive aggressive posting.
I'm going to slide this in and nick a few people that hurt my feelings, but I'm going to do it under the guise of being really spiritual. Hogwash and buzzard puke. Kiss a mule. Dear time. And think that we didn't see your bitter, ugly, hateful, vindictive spirit. Because you couched it with the ESV verse and a little song. You put a little quote of a song. Dear time. Oh, whatever happened to somebody loving the Lord so much that they gladly bore his reproach?
Amen.
Half of you women won't dress like the Lord wants you to dress because you're afraid that you won't fit in the fashion and won't be accepted by society. Oh, the broccoli just turned yellow. Do you feel that? Half of you men won't say a word for Jesus down there where you work because you're trying to get a promotion from the wrong world. Churches got to find the latest trends and the latest winds and the latest bends and so that they can be on the cutting edge, church. I'm going to start me a church and call it plain out old fashioned, smack your mama, throw down good time religion, Baptist church. If y'all don't like it, don't lump it or something. That's going to be it's going to be one of them long name churches.
It's going to be the opposite of cutting edge.
It's going to be a two-edged. My church may be, take your cutting edge somewhere else. We got a two-edged sword down here, Baptist Church.
The longer the name, the madder they were when they started the church. Y'all know that, don't you? If it was just the Lord birth of the church, like
Calvary Baptist, Faith Baptist.
The longer the name, the madder they all were when they had to start that church.
That's a little inside tip for you.
I don't remember the name of where am I at. Morning Star. Oh, brother, man, they just went right for the heavens. Forget everything down here. Morning Star. I just forget all of y'all. Just plant this thing, brother. Did Brother Kerrigan start this church?
No, it was going on before. Well, I like the name.
It just leave this world and everything in it. We're up yonder already.
Bearing his reproach. Teenagers, sell out and live for God. Be willing to bear his reproach. Young men, sell out and live for God. You get unfriended and blocked and deleted 1,000 times. Just get on off that thing anyhow and get in your Bible. Bear his reproach. Be that church that they talk about. Bearing his reproach. And I come to the final thought today. Verse 20. Let's not forget what he said. Let's not forget he's the same. Let's not forget his suffering in verse 20. Let's remember his staff. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
That great shepherd of the sheep.
My. Let's not forget that the Lord is my shepherd.
Let's not forget and be to be thankful that he's given us shepherds.
He's given us shepherds. And he's the great shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. Oh my. I was thinking a while ago. Brother Kerrigan made the crossing and we're going to. And when I come to my crossing, when you come to your crossing. I don't know if death, we'll go through that valley of the shadow of death, or if a trumpet blast, we'll leave this world, but I'm looking forward to going to the other side. Here we have no continuing city, but there we seek one to come. That's in the middle of that chapter somewhere. Thank God it'll be his rod and his staff that comforts us. And that rod, it'll strike a wolf, and sometimes it'll correct a sheep, but that staff, it's got that crook on it, and that's where he pulls us and catches us and brings us. Oh, my. Thank God. He's the great shepherd. I was in Eastern Europe, Albania. And every trip I ever make, I learn things from the shepherds and the sheep. And we come up on one man, and it was the largest flock I'd ever seen. And turned out there was 4 sons or 5 sons, and they all had flocks. We come around a road up in the mountains as the sun was setting at the end of the day, and they were making a crossing. We had to stop. And up on top was a large hill covered with grass. I guess you could almost call it a small mountain. It was so high. And we got the story all later that once a year the sons brought the flocks to the father's home. And they'd have to make that crossing coming up out of them deep, difficult valleys in them Albania Alps. And they'd make that crossing, and once a year, the sons would bring the flocks to the father's home so that they could be with their father and they could take a reckoning of all the sheep and the family be together. We happened upon that curve, that moment in time where they were making the crossing. There was a shepherd standing in the middle of the road, and he was helping them across. That last little part, and I've got video of this to prove it to you, it was the difficult steps, rocky. And that shepherd was pulling them and helping them and making the crossing. And as more would get on the other side, we couldn't hear ourselves talk. The sheep gathered up on the grassy knoll right over our heads, 12, 14 foot. And they were hollering at the ones that were still down in the valley.
We're just standing there in the middle of the road out in the mountains, and we're videoing, and I'm crying, and everybody's seeing different things, and they're all squalling.
One preacher, he was looking at the shepherd in the crossing. He kept saying, "He's going to be there when I make the crossing." He was having his own private spell. Another pastor was looking down at the little shepherd dogs, the little sheep dogs that were, and he was crying over every Sunday school teacher and every pastor he'd ever had and every good mom and dad, the little servants keeping you in line. We were all crying over something different. And them sheep behind us. Y'all ever heard the sheep? One sheep can be loud. My neighbor just got some goats and right across the way. And I go up to my little study, they holler at me, "Dad!" It sounded like a person, scares me every time, especially now. I holler back at them in sheep language. "Dad!" I kind of want to sound half sheep, half wolf, and back them up a little bit. And I know you've seen that your children have showed you the funny little YouTubes of the screaming goats. We couldn't hear ourselves think. They were so, there was 200 of them at that point, and nobody told them to. There wasn't a shepherd or a dog over on the right side. They all knew how to act on the Father's hill. And they'd all just got up there behind us, and they were right, and 200 of them. And they were encouraging their family that was coming up. And down there in the valley, struggling to get up out of them last little parts, they was hollering back occasionally. One of them would go, "Bart! I'm coming. We hear you. We're almost there. We're about to make the crossing." Amen. My daddy's mama, thank God I got some heritage back there. My godly grandmother had to live through a drunkard and a divorce. She is old school. She just stayed with God afterward. Bill Monroe. These kids don't know who that is. Lester Flatt, Earl Scruggs. Bill Monroe proposed to her. She said, "No. I won't be marrying no honky-tonk. I'm staying with the Lord." The sheriff come up there after his wife died and he had a big house. She said, "No, Jesus will be enough." She worked a little sewing factory till she left us. Both her sons, preachers, both her daughters, church servants. More preaching grandsons than not. Picked cotton, worked them sweatshops, just a little humble. Saint of God. Toward the end, she lost her mind. I don't know, dementia, Alzheimer's. And all she did the last 2 years was get dressed to go to church. She put on two dresses, three dresses. She put on a coat and another coat, and she just kept getting dressed. "Where are you going? Where are you going, Grandma?" "I'm going to church."
It's always just getting dressed to go to church. Ooh. One night, they had a little baby monitor in her little apartment out back. My cousin, Mitch, he said one night, just a little bit before she died, he heard the baby monitor squawking, and he went out, and she was dressed. She had on two dresses and two coats and her Bible. But this time, she was out in the driveway about 3 in the morning. Mitch come out there and said, where are you going, Grandma? She said, oh, I'm going to the meeting. She'd always said church before. Said, I'm going to the meeting. She said, don't you see him, son? She didn't even know his name. Don't you see him, young man? They're right across the river. She said, there's Mom. There's Dad. She named 2 or 3 of her brothers. Did you see them? They're right there. She said, and I'm quoting, I'm not exaggerating. I wrote the story down. I'm not making up stuff. She said, and there's the Lord Jesus. He wants me to come on.
Amen. Amen.
I got news for y'all. This world's always had wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes and death and disease and sorrow. But that great shepherd of the sheep has made an everlasting covenant, and it's going to get me to the other side. It'll perfect me one day out yonder. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. If you're saved today, you ought to thank Him. If you've never been saved, we ought not have to bow our heads and hide you and tinkle little music for you. With everybody looking, you ought to jump up and run to an altar and say, Lord, thank you for dying for me. All these hidden private altar calls. They didn't have to go into deep privacy in that Bible when they got saved. People would run to Jesus. I like giving them old-timey altar calls. If you're lost, stand up and run to Him. If you want your sin, you go on and you'll end up in a place called hell. You go on. The only one reason you'll ever go to hell is because you wanted your sin and you rejected the Savior. That's the only reason you ever go to hell. You love your darkness rather than that light that He was shining into your room. We ought not have to hide and make this easy for you.
Yeah. Amen.
Down in the Central Americas, had some missionaries, and they always gave the altar call before. All the sinners that came to be saved, stand and come forward. They'd get saved before the service got started. I was down there in Panama 1.5 years ago, February, right before the world locked down. And there's a 17-year little old short Panamanian little brown boy. Been working like a man since he was 12 and been mistreated like all of them down there. He come up on our meeting and came walking in. And he said he walked 7 days. Out of the mountains and the jungle. His cousin had got saved down there and was living with the preacher and a bunch of young people. He said, I heard my cousin. He said, I've come 7 days journey to get saved. All this American snowflake millennial. You want to go to hell. Go ahead. It's where you're going anyway. But if you want to repent of your sin and run to Jesus, He's standing there waiting on you.
Amen. That's right.
You ought to run down here with the whole town watching. Yeah. So if you want to be saved, you better. Because we're at the end.
You're fixing to step out into eternity. Amen. If you don't understand, people around here take a Bible and let you understand more. Amen. 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 It's good to be saved, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 Can I make a request right now? Sister Jenny and the girls, go up there and sing something. I don't want a standard altar call. I want you to praise the Lord. Sing whatever's on your heart. If somebody needs to get saved, they're going to. If they want to, they're going to.
Amen.
We ain't got to baby coddle them into it.
Amen.
If they want to, they're going to get saved in front of us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Y'all ought to praise the Lord for a while.
Yes, sir.
He's been good to us.
Thank
you. Glory. I want you to stand. You might want to bring your family or bring your knees down here and get on this altar and thank Him for being good. If you want to come and thank Him, come on. If you need to be saved, come on. Ah, bless the Lord. Oh God, we're grateful. Ah, bless the Lord. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful. Oh God, thank you for that great shepherd of the sheep. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Thank God. Oh Lord, bless the Lord. Oh my soul. All that's within me. Bless His holy name.
My physician tried in vain for 12 long years of pain. It's proved that there is nothing. Heard somebody say there's a healer on the way. Somehow I'll have to press my way through. Gotta get to Jesus. Gotta get to Jesus. I know that He's the answer to my needs. Bring Him all my problems. Only He can solve them in my broken pieces. I've gotta get to Jesus. When my world is torn apart, I need healing for my heart. I really don't know how much more I can take. Trapped inside a cloud of disbelief and doubt, I only know one way of escape. I've gotta get to Jesus. Gotta get to Jesus. I know that He's the answer to my needs. Bring Him all my problems. Only He can solve them in my broken pieces. I've gotta get to Jesus. If the hem of His garment is all I can reach, I know if I touch Him, I will be free. I will be free. Gotta get to Jesus. Gotta get to Jesus. I know that He's the answer to my needs. Bring Him all my problems. give to Jesus. Bring him all my problems, only he can solve them. Mend my broken pieces, all these broken pieces. I've gotta get to Jesus.